What I'd like to do is zoom in, not to one passage, not to one verse, but to one word. One word in the parasha. We're going to maybe spend 45 minutes talking about one singular word in the parasha. So it's the parasha, it's Pekudei. And Pekudei is the last of the parashios which describe the construction of the base of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. And it is the actual fulfillment of the instructions with the Jewish people building the Mishkan and putting it together and erecting it as well. And the culmination of the whole parasha is the descent of the divine presence, the Shekhinah, upon the tabernacle on the first of Nisan, the inauguration of the Mishkan. So this is the conclusion of Sefer Shemos. And there's a lot to say just about that, why this is the culmination of the entire story, the Exodus and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah, the revelation of science, all leading up towards this final point of the descent of the Shekhinah upon the Jewish people, where the Shekhinah in the Mishkan is really a duplicate of the Shekhinah on Har Sinai as well. So the pasuk to take a look at is chapter 39, pasuk 32, the end of last pasuk in the third Aliyah. So it says, "V'teichel kol avodas Mishkan, ohel moed." Loosely translated as the entire work of the Mishkan, of the tent of meeting, was completed. V'yaseh b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'shatziva Hashem es Moshe kein aso. And the Jewish people did everything which Moshe had commanded, as Hashem had commanded Moshe, the Jewish people did exactly as so. So the Mishkan was made, was completed, the part of the Mishkan was made, and they did everything. So the curiosity is the first word, and that's the word which we're going to dissect and put under the microscope and analyze and figure out exactly what it means. V'teichel. V'teichel kol avodas Mishkan. V'teichel, which again, the art scroll says what? That it was complete? What does it say there?
Completed.
Now, if it's talking about the entire avoda, the Mishkan, that it was completed, really what it should say more accurately, I mean, especially from the continuation of the pasuk, is that they did exactly what Hashem told Moshe to do. So the question is, why is it said in the singular and the passive tense and the passive voice of the entire work of the Mishkan was completed and not say that they completed it? Is there any significance in that? So the Or HaChaim, among other commentaries, talk about this. The Or HaChaim gives three explanations as to why it says it was completed and not identify the fact that the Jewish people completed it. The artisans completed it. So he says, Pirish lo heim kilo. He says explicitly that it wasn't the Jewish people who actually finished building the parts of the Mishkan. They didn't really finish it. Why? Shimhoya Hashem mitzava od ba'avidasi yisbarach, that if Hashem would have commanded them to continue on, to continue making more and more and more things, they would have been so eager and enthusiastic, they would have continued. So really the finishing off of build, of making the parts of the Mishkan was not coming from them. It wasn't coming from them. They were so eager and full of lev, Yasu b'nei Yisrael, b'chol avas nafshan, they would have continued doing it with such desire, but they had to stop because God told them to stop. Elisha, kolsa ha-malacha shetziva Hashem. The work was, Hashem told them to stop doing the work. So it's conveying, it's like a little bit of a revelation or a clue into the sentiment and the heart and the enthusiasm of the Jewish people. They wanted to continue, but they were forced to stop. So it doesn't say that they stopped, because then it would kind of paint it that they wanted to stop themselves. They didn't want to stop. That's one explanation. Another explanation is, Od yitzah ba'omro v'teichel, by saying teichel, it was finished, l'tzad shahyeba melachos shenasa matzim, because there were certain components of the Mishkan which were made by themselves. There were components in the Mishkan which were made by themselves. What's an example of that? The menorah. The menorah is made by itself. So people are familiar with this, that when Moshe was told to make the menorah, he didn't know how to do it, and he put the metal in and into the fire, and it came out miraculously. He had to do a little bit of hammering, but he couldn't figure out how to make the menorah. So it was made miraculously by itself. Can you imagine that? Right, the menorah just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. It was made miraculously. The menorah she'amru Chazal, the Medrash says, she'nasim matzah was made by itself. Lezeh lokina kol aleim. That's the reason why the verse does not attribute the completion of the Mishkan to the Jewish people as a whole, because really parts of it weren't completed by them. Parts of it were completed by Hashem miraculously. Ella, because yesh chelak b'mlad, there was a part of the construction which wasn't done except by just the banging of the hammer, but it came out by itself, the menorah. That's the second. That's why it says it was finished. Not saying that they finished it, right? That's the second explanation. The third explanation he says is says the word teichel can mean complete, but it's also related to a pasuk in Tehillim in Psalms where it says nichsefa v'gam kolsa nafshi lechatzot Hashem. That I yearn the courtyards of Hashem. I yearn for and I pine the court. My soul pines for you, Hashem. The word kalta nafshi. My soul pines for you, Hashem. So the word vayichal alludes to that idea that the teichel kalavodus mishkan, that the mishkan was made beautifully with such a yearning and such a desire. So that all the entire work was done with tremendous cheshek and desire and yearning, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful construction. It was a beautiful result. So that's the three explanations the Rachaim gives in this word v'teichel, right? So it's but the second explanation, right, that says that it's reflecting the idea that they didn't really finish it completely themselves. It was done by Hashem. It was miraculously done. Parts of it were miraculously created by Hashem. That's similar to actually look at the next pasuk. It says, "Yaviu es Mishkan al Moshe." I guess I didn't tell the truth because I'm going to do the second pasuk as well over here. "Yaviu el Mishkan al Moshe." They brought the Mishkan. They brought the parts of the Mishkan to Moshe, the Ol Moed, etc. All the different parts. They brought them to Moshe, and the reason is why did they bring the different parts to Moshe? So the Medrash says many wise men were there, and yet they came to Moshe bearing the tabernacle's components. And they weren't able to set it up. They had difficulty trying to set up the Mishkan. They'd made all the different parts of the Mishkan, but they now had difficulty actually erecting it and setting it up. So Rashi says one of the reasons is that because the beams were very heavy, and the shape of the beams, the shape and the weight of the beams made it very difficult for them to know how to actually set it up properly. Others say, another commentary says, the reason why it was difficult for them, because they realized that the Mishkan was going to house the presence of Hashem. So the idea of taking bricks and mortar and, you know, physical things and for that to now house the presence of Hashem, miraculous to be able to take. I mean, we have a soul and neshama inside of ourselves. The entire phenomena of a neshama, of a holy soul being inside of a body, is a pure miracle. For now the Jewish people to make a Mishkan, that this Mishkan is now going to house and hold the Shechina inside of it, is something which is beyond the average person's, anyone's ability to be able to do. So they didn't know how to do it. They were just stuck. How do we make it in a way, and how do we infuse the right kind of kavana inside of it that the Shechina should be able to come inside of it? And they couldn't do it. Therefore, they went to Moshe. They went to Moshe, ask him to do it. That's the second explanation. But they went to him and said, "Can you do this? Can you set up the Mishkan? Can you erect it?" So Ma'asu, what did they do? Not look kolachon v'yechon malachto. Each one took the piece which he'd made. They came to Moshe, Medrash says, and they said, "Karasha, here are the beams, here are the bars." The cave and shar Moshe osam. And when Moshe saw them, miyad sharsa aleihem. Ruach HaKodesh v'akimo. Immediately, the spirit of Hashem, of the Ruach HaKodesh, descended upon Moshe, and he was able to put it up. Lotom Moshe amidu, but don't say that actually Moshe himself really did the whole thing. El HaMishkan nasa b'nisim. Rather, even the Mishkan itself rose up miraculously. So even though, again, Moshe did something, he participated a little bit, but at the end of the day, the Mishkan rose up miraculously. The whole Mishkan just rose up and put itself together miraculously. V'omad matzah came up by itself, as it says later on. Look at further chapter 40, verse 17. It says, "Hukam ha-Mishkan." Hukam ha-Mishkan means that the Mishkan was erected by itself. The pasuk before, the pasuk right after that says that Moshe did it as well. But that's the point the Medrash is making, that there was a partnership in the making of the Mishkan. that Moshe put it up, but it really rose up by itself miraculously. It came up by itself miraculously. Vim tema ato. Then, if you're surprised about this, when else in history did such a thing happen? Right? When else did such a thing happen where the Mishkan, where something rose up and became erected miraculously with the pure intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So another time this happened, the Medrash says, if you're surprised it happened over here, it happened again in the future. It happened in the times of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash. Hu nivna ma'atzma, the Beis HaMikdash became built by itself. Now, again, what it looks like practically, I don't know. Medrash says that the procedure and the whole goings-on of the building of the Beis HaMikdash came with it miracles, nisim. Miracles happened in the building of the Beis HaMikdash that it rose up by itself. V'chein k'shuga mishkan, so also with the Mishkan here, b'maisa nisim omad, with miracles it rose up, it stood up. However, you, as a mission, that's why it says that they brought the Mishkan, they brought it to Moshe to ask him how to do it, and it rose up by itself. So what we have over here is a picture of miracles of things being formed and constructed through the agency of man, the Jewish people, plus the agents and Moshe, plus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, completing it, completing the process. So they do it, and then Hashem completes it. So there's another example of this. The Zohar Kodesh says, gives another example, which is perplexing, right? But the Zohar says that another example of such a phenomena is, it says, where does it say it over here? Another example, the wording of the Zohar exactly is Ta. He says, the Zohar says, it says the same way that the Mishkan was completed by Hashem, even though the Jewish people participated at the beginning of it, similarly, Vayechulu Hashemayim, also in the creation of the universe. In the creation of the universe, you have a similar phenomenon. That's what the Zohar says, a similar phenomenon in the creation of the universe, Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'choltzu Va'am. That Hashem, that's the pasuk at the beginning of Bereishis, chapter 2 of Bereishis. It says that the heavens and the earth, right? What does it say there? They were completed. They were completed by Hashem. They were made, they were finished. So the Zohar says a similar phenomena happened there as well. In the same way as by the Mishkan, the Jewish people participated in the building of the beginning of it, but it was completed by Hashem. So also the creation of heaven and earth was begun by who? And then completed by Hashem. That's kind of strange, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean? So this is from the Pri Tzadik, Tzadik Kakan, I mentioned him last week as well. So he writes, so he connects this to a Gemara. The Gemara says, and this we're familiar with, the Gemara says in Shabbos 119b, it says, anyone who says Vayechulu on Friday night, it's Ki'ilu, it's malol of a kasu kila nasa shutul hakadosh baruch hu ma'aseh bereishis. It's as though the person who says vayechulu is partnering with Hashem in the act of creation. So by saying vayechulu on Friday night, so we say that in the davening, and then we say it by kiddush as well, vayechulu Hashemayim. So if you say that, then it's like you're partnering with Hashem in the creation of the heaven and the earth. Now, how is that so? Like, what's the partnership? The answer is, the Gemara says, because the word vayechulu, and they were completed, the heavens and the earth were completed. Al tikre vayechulu, don't read the word vayechulu as vayechulu. Read it as vayecholu. And they completed in an active form. So you can say vayechulu is passive, they were completed. Or you could read it as vayecholu, they actively completed it. Who's the they? Hashem and the Jewish people and the person who's reciting this. So it's like, you know, together we are declaring the creation of the heaven and earth, and we are partnering with Hashem in the act of creation, which still needs understanding. Like, just by saying it, what's going on? What does that mean exactly? So there are many commentaries on that, just on that Gemara, what it means that you're partnering with Hashem by merely saying it. However, he writes over here, there has to be some fundamental truth to the two-way or the other way of reading it as a segue to the how it is actually written. In other words, before you can read the word as they were made, you have to be able to read it as they did make. Meaning the only way, he writes, the only way that there can be a phenomena of the heavens and the earth being made by Hashem, it first has to go through the passage, the pathway of the Jewish people also making it as well. Only when the Jewish people, so to speak, help Hashem making the heavens and the earth, only then can the heavens and the earth be made. That sounds very cryptic, very hard to understand. And this is what he says. He said this is what it means, that the same way that the Mishkan was made by man and then completed by Hashem, the heavens and earth were made by man and then completed by Hashem. Where in the world, and doesn't that sound like heretical, that we're making the heavens and the earth? What does it mean we're making the heavens and the earth? So looking at the act of creation, the 6 days of creation, what was the completion of the creation? How was the creation of the world completed? At what point was the creation actually finished? That was like only a little bit before. Right? What was the ultimate completion of creation? What was the ultimate stage of creation being completed?
Shabbos.
It says that Shabbos completed creation. So Shabbos completes creation. Shabbos is what gives reality and cogency and purpose to creation. Right? We've spoken about this many, many times. 6 days of the week are purely 6 days of construction, of productivity, of physical development, and it's a shell. I mean, this is how many commentators look at the 6 days of the week. The 6 days of the week are a pure shell of reality. It's the outer shell of reality. The essence, the content of reality is articulated through Shabbos. Shabbos gives purpose, gives meaning, gives reality, gives content, gives completion, gives conclusion to the entire 6 days of creation. If you don't have Shabbos, you have no meaning in life. Shabbos is what infuses the entire creation with meaning. Otherwise, it's just a physical world and it has no spiritual essence to it. The essence of the world, the essence of the physical world is what's created by Shabbos. Shabbos creates it. Shabbos completes it. So if Shabbos completes it, so he writes, Al Tikre V'yachul, don't read the word as V'yachulu, as they were finished, the heavens were finished, but read it as they finished Shemura de Ishtalimas Megarmo al V'yachulu at Shia Shom Shabbos, until the Jew is Shom Shabbos, observes the Shabbos, preserves the Shabbos, via Shichlul al Yodo, then the completion of the world will be through his hand. In other words, the way he explains, the way that we can participate in the very creation. Now, we have to plug in over here the important idea that is creation a first-time event of 5,000 years ago? Or is creation an ongoing reality? So we say this every day. He's mechadish b'chol yom ma'aseh bereishis. He rejuvenates and renews the act of creation every single day, every single moment. So creation is not something which just happened one time. We need a constant influx and energy in the world to maintain the act of creation. And that's the concept of his mechadish b'chol yom. He renews every single day the act of creation. What fuels that? What brings that about? So it goes without saying that all of the mitzvahs and all of the Torah which we learn is essential for that ongoing energy of existence, the chiddush of ma'aseh bereishis every single minute. But what it's teaching us is that Shabbos also does that, because Shabbos in creation was the shechlul, the completion, the perfection, the shechlul of the ma'aseh bereishis, the shechlul, and that's something which we can engage in. We can't create anymore, right? We can't create. The world was created. You can't create the world, but by keeping Shabbos and by completing the week, so to speak, like Hashem did, like Hashem completed the week, and now completed his own act of creation by creating the Shabbos. And it's also interesting when you think about Shabbos is not, unlike the other 6 days of the week, he was creating entities. He was creating reality. He was creating physical realities. The sun and the moon and the vegetation and the animals and people as well. These are all tangible physical things which were being created all through the 6 days of the week. What did he create on Shabbos? There's no physical phenomena we created. So they says he created menucha. But he brought about a reality of Shabbos where the reality of Shabbos is the non-creation. It's the non-creative activities. That's what he created. That space of non-creativity is the Shabbos. And it's that reflects back upon the whole week that now gives meaning and purpose, but also completes the week as well. Mm. And therefore, he says that was the Shabbos is the shechlul, is the perfection through one's own hands. So we can do that. You can't physically create the world, but we can keep Shabbos. By keeping Shabbos, we are maintaining existence. We are being mechadish the world. We are creating the world. Va'oz ishtalimas megarma, and that now the world can now be completed properly. But that's what the Gemara says. Ki ilu nasa shutv laKadosh Baruch Hu. So the deeper idea of saying vayechulu on Friday night, and not just by reciting the words and then you're good to go, but it's really living that. That statement that you're creating the world, vayechulu, the world is created, vayechulu, the world, the heaven, the earth has been completed, has been made. How? Vayechulu, by the shared participation of the Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in making the world. How practically though? He says, through the Yid, being Shomer Shabbos. And by being Shomer Shabbos, that's what brings reality and kind of gives completion, shechlul. It means perfection and completion to the world. By this, so that's what it means. So that's how you can compare. That's what the Zohar says, that in the same way, right, that the Jewish people began or participated in the building of the Mishkan, but Hashem completed it. So also the Jewish people, we do the same thing. We participate in the building of the world by being Shomer Shabbos, and that's born out of that idea. But this is the idea. So us completing the week through the Shabbos is our partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the segue also to Parshas HaChodesh, because HaChodesh is the beginning. This tomorrow on the Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. It's the new month and it's the new year, essentially. It's the beginning of the new year. So the Chiddush, the opportunity to be Mechadesh B'chol Yom, to be able to renew every single day, Maisa Bereishis, we got to think about how can we participate in that? How do we engage in that process of renewing the world, So one major way is through Shabbos. Shabbos is a fantastic way. I shouldn't say no endorsement necessary, right? But Shabbos is probably the most important way in which we can share and participate and partner with the Kaddish Baruch Hu to making this world into a better place. And as the expression goes, more than the Jew has observed Shabbos, the Shabbos is more than the Jew has protected Shabbos. Shabbos has protected the Jew, right? That's a very famous line. There's a very famous story about the very well-known big tzaddik, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. He was known there was a book written about him. It's an amazing book called All for the Boss, and that's really expresses what he lived for. He lived his entire life all for the boss. All for the boss, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that he lived in America. Right? He lived in the Lower East Side, I think. And then in the 1930s, late during the war, he and his family decided to emigrate to Eretz Yisrael. And they went and they got onto a ship and they brought all their possessions and all their belongings with them. And they took this very long ride, this journey to Eretz Yisrael. And as they got, and it was destined for the port in Haifa. So right before, a few days before they were supposed to arrive, on a Wednesday, and he'd arranged to spend Shabbos with a certain rabbi, Rabbi Alpha, in Haifa. And before they were supposed to arrive on a Wednesday, and then there was all sorts of tumult and everything because the war was breaking out. It was right when the war was breaking out, and then the ship got delayed, and it was a major situation, and the ship didn't arrive until an hour before Shabbos on Friday. And because of the whole chaos and the tumult, literally the war had just broken out, and the captain of the ship ordered all of the people on the ship that they had to get off the ship, right, and just dump all of their possessions, all of their suitcases. They weren't allowed to leave anything on the ship. They weren't allowed. Ideally, the Hermans, obviously were Shomer Shabbos. The Hermans wanted to stay on the ship for the entire Shabbos and then just get off after Shabbos. The captain wouldn't allow that whatsoever. And he said, because he wanted to sail the ship away from the port and get out of there as quickly as possible, whatever he was thinking. And he ordered everyone in the ship that they should dump all of their possessions, all their baggages into the port. And he went to the captain, Rabbi Herman, he went to the captain. He said, I can't do that. How many bags do you have? And the story goes, he had about 25 bags, 25 suitcases. Wow. He and his family, 25 suitcases. He said, there's just no way that I can get to my host. Can I just leave them on the ship until he says, no, we are leaving. We are tossing everything onto the port And that's nothing we can do about it. But Shabbos, I can't. I'm sorry. And he, so they tossed all of their possession, their life's possession, they tossed onto the port. And then Rabbi Herman and his wife, they just went. They left. They had to walk away. They had to get as quickly as possible to their host family, to the Rabbi Alpha. And they get there right before Shabbos, and they spend Shabbos there. The entire Shabbos, they're as calm as anything. They're just calm, enjoying Shabbos, singing Zmiras, and just very. And everyone knew what had happened. The family they were staying at knew exactly what had happened. And someone said, like, how are you maintaining your calm and tranquility, you know, after you've lost all your suitcases? So he said, we say in the Shema, love Hashem with all of your heart, with all of your money. With all of your money. That's one of the interpretations, with all of your money. He said, I've never had an opportunity to be able to love Hashem with every last penny that I own. And this was my opportunity. And we're just so happy. I'm really showing my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As far as they were concerned, they'd lost every single item they owned. Wow. In that event, and they lost everything. That's what they thought. They lost everything. Anyway, after Shabbos was over, the Rabbi Alpha said, let's just go to the port. Maybe, you know, by some kind of miracle, your suitcase will still be there. He says, no way. He said, the captain was so resolute and was just ordering everyone that it was just going to get taken away. And that was it. So they go back. So they walk to the port and they get there, and it's very, very dark, and they have a little lantern, and they're walking, and all of a sudden, there's a voice which suddenly barks out of the dark. I said, who goes there? In English, right? So they realize, and it's Rabbi Herman. Rabbi Herman, I was on the ship. He said, oh, he's Rabbi Herman. He said, and he was American. He was from the ship, and himself was from the ship. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for my suitcases. Well, they're all here. All your suitcases are here. He said, why are they there? See, he said, because the captain of the ship, when he saw how devoted you were to Shabbos, he told me, you stay here by the suitcases for the entire Shabbos. I've been sitting by these suitcases for 26 hours. Wow. And the captain told me I should do that. And when you come back, you can have your suitcases. Wow. And that was the end of the story. So he got everything back. So again, more than the Jew has protected Shabbos, Shabbos has protected the Jew.
He wasn't a Jewish person, the guy.
I guess not. I don't know the details. But the point is that, so we learn it, right? So that's why, so from the one little word over here, v'teichol, we learn a tremendous lesson that we should, take to heart these ideas and, you know, trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will take care of us. We do the right thing. Hashem will take care of us, especially with this, when it comes to this. Shabbos is the culmination. That's what builds. That's what gives energy and life and vitality and reality to the whole 6 days preceding. Don't worry about constant. Just don't worry. Do the right thing. You'll be in good hands. Hashem will take care of you.